All right, here we go. Everybody that's here, unless you're taking your children, come back as quick as you can. And I want you to turn to a book called Ecclesiastes. And I want you to go fast. I want you to turn to chapter 3, Ecclesiastes. Do not live in pride. We're going to talk about that today. If you need to, go to the front of your Bible, to the table of contents, and find what page Ecclesiastes is. 1062 in my Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Chapter 3. And when you get there, then just say amen so I know. Is everybody there? Oh me if you're not, and I'll wait on you because I want you to see this. Is there any oh me's? Okay, I'm waiting. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm watching Daryl and Jane. When they find it, I know that we can begin. We found it? Okay. Look at all the phones from the gray-haired folks in the front row. I got it. I like that. Praise God. The Bible says in the last days that knowledge would increase. And it is through a telephone. Glory be to God. Verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So let me read that one more time because that's going to be the basis of this message. If I titled it, whoever writes down the titles of our messages, and I thank Carrie if she's in here, but someone will write this down probably. The title would be, We Are in a Season. And I'm going to explain what season we're in. So, again, verse 1, chapter 3, Ecclesiastes says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Would y'all agree that we're under the heaven? Because obviously we know that Jesus descended to the belly of the earth called hell before he ascended. So we know that heaven is up because Jesus ascended up. He did not descend down. So I would suggest that you come in agreement that heaven is up and we're underneath heaven. And we're going to go ascend eventually. That's why the Bible says in the last days when the trumpet sounds of that archangel, Jesus appears, the clouds separate, remember? Jesus appears and we go up to meet Jesus in the air. Okay? So, again, verse 1 says, in everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, look at me just real fast. We talked in an offering message about sowing. That's planting a seed. When you plant a seed, a good farmer plants it in ground. Would you all agree? But anything that's bad that has been planted, I would suggest uproot it. You don't want that seed to manifest. If it's thoughts of fear, get those fear thoughts out. How do you do that? Well, the Bible teaches us Christians to take every thought captive. And in order to do that, you've got to literally, you yourself, you have to change what you're thinking. God won't miraculously just change your thoughts. But the way you change your thoughts is you got to put something else in the thought life, in the mind where the thought comes from. So I would suggest getting into the Word of God. And get the Word of God in your mind so that your thoughts are the Word of God and not some negative thing that we're thinking. But a lot of times, We get distracted because of busyness of life, and we plant negative seeds. Usually it always starts with the mouth. The mouth says something negative like, you know, I'm ugly. I'm no good. You don't know what I've done in my past. God doesn't love me. I'm ugly. And it just over and over is in your mind. And before you know it, if you don't have enough maturity to cast that thought out, then it'll manifest as a seed, and it'll harvest somewhere. I mean, you'll continue to have an attitude of not being a winner. You'll start thinking and saying things like, well, it's just my luck. I remember one guy always would say, I always felt like I was born just a little bit behind time. Just barely on the other side of the track. I mean, if I would have just been born a little bit sooner or even later, I would be entering into the blessing of God. And before he knew it, that's all he thought. Nothing ever went right for the guy, okay? So here, the Bible says a time to be born, verse 2, time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to die, a time to heal. That was a lot of you that received your healing. That was the time. Say amen to that. Now, I have to say this, just led by the Spirit of God. You are not moved by what you feel. Because I'm sure there's someone goes, well, it don't feel healed. It don't feel, it still hurts. Yeah, but you're not moved by what you feel. You're not moved by the five physical senses. What are you moved by? The Word of God. And the Word of God says by Jesus' stripes, his beating, before he was crucified, you're healed. So if you don't feel healed, don't say what you feel, say what the truth of the Word of God is. And then the more you say it, the more, again, it'll get from the head down into your heart. And I'll show you people that receive their healing by the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. There's a time to rent, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Did y'all hear that? There's a time to keep silence when you don't want to. You know, the one, I want to tell that lady off. And then there's also a time, though, to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time to war, and a time of peace. I can imagine what Israel is thinking right now. And I'm here to tell you, if you are listening to my voice, I urge you to always bless Israel. Don't ever come against Israel, or at least don't come against it and let me know it. Because the Bible says if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you will be cursed. I'm amazed at our country. How dare our country be doing protests against Israel? Well, it's prophetic. It's prophetic, and I understand that. But by golly, don't do it. We're going to bless Israel in this church, so we're going to continue to be blessed. Thank you, Lord. What profit has he that works in that wherein he labors? Verse 9. Verse 10 says, and I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, we're talking about time, right? We're talking about seasons. Also, he is setting the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for the man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat, drink, enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be done forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it, the men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth, is that what that word is? That which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. The wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness. That iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. If there is a time there for any purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest in them. That they might see that they themselves are beasts. For they which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalls them, one, and the one dieth. So dieth the other, yea, they have all one breath. So that a man hath no that word above a beast, for all vanity is vanity. Whatever. Just a King James word. You know what I should have done? Watch this. Verse 19. The Amplified says, for that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts, even in the end one thing befalls them both. As the one dies, so dies the other. Yes, they all have one breath and spirit, so that a man has no... Oh, it says the word again. But anyway, but keep reading. All go under one place, all are of the dust, all turn to dust again. Who knows the spirit of man that goes upward and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? All that I just read, y'all, was talking about times and purposes, etc. Now, for the sake of this message, I want you now quickly to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, all of us just established that there is a season and a time for everything. 2 Timothy, and go to chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Now, as your pastor, my job and the job of the ministers that preach behind this podium is to prepare you as well as me for the return of the Lord Jesus. To identify the signs of the times so that we can understand that in everything there's a season. And what season are we in right now? Well, obviously I believe that we're in the season of the end of the end times. Not just the end times. The things that we're seeing on the news, the battles, everyone that's attacking Israel right now, God's chosen people. The things that we're seeing happen in our government is a sign of the end times. Now, you don't want to be a person that gets into fear. I mean, because kids do that. Children will get into fear because they haven't achieved, you know, all their goals. But listen to me. I don't have time to teach it right now, but when Jesus comes back to get all of us that the Bible calls elect, the people that's given their hearts to Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Lord, your Savior, etc. When we leave, we're only gone for 7 years through a time of major tribulation. I'm one of those preachers that believe the Word of God states that we're gone before the 7 year tribulation. There are some preachers that preach we go in the mid tribulation. If you want to stay for the mid, you can. I'm going in the first batch. Now, some of us might argue that we're in a major tribulation time right now. No, we're not. Because we still have the name that's above every name. I mean, we don't live in fear, even though there's fear all around us. We live by the Word of God. Now, we may see people fall away from the faith, which is another sign of the end times, but that's not me and you, or you wouldn't be at this church today. Doesn't matter what kind of issues and problems and trials and tribulations you're going through right now, we are in the end of the end times, I believe, biblically. So let's read about it. Just get a few of these signs, and hopefully it'll convince you not to get into fear, but stay in faith like you've never stayed in faith before. Live for God like you've never lived for the Lord. And if you do, we're not saying that there won't be persecution and you fall prey to, you know, some of the things that we go through, like trials and tribulations, because we all go through them. But if you do what the Word of God says, you'll get through them without any problem. You don't have to build a tent in the middle of an issue, a trial or a tribulation. No, no, you'll have so much maturity that you'll recognize, oh, kind of like the other day, the enemy. We were moving some stands, and the track loader that belongs to me and my family, I've allowed just to work its tail off at this place. And all of a sudden, I see the guy that works for me, Polo, walking to the church where we're attempting to move stands. And I'm like, what you walking for? And he says, you know, he don't know lots of English. So when he does this, I know that is not good. The whole track on the right side of my skid loader, a rubber track, is broke in two. Matter of fact, he came to me with this little piece before it actually broke. He said, but it's working good. And I didn't, you know, the piece was one of the parts of that the track turns on. I'm like, it's probably a bad deal there. And it was broke. And I'm like, oh man, we really, really, really need that one piece. And well, it was broke. So I rented another machine. I called Rick Hager. I said, hey, we've got to move all this base because that's what's going to keep people from getting stuck. And sure enough, again, another expense. Well, then I'm driving one of the tractors that one of our, you know, I think it was Cliff, was letting us borrow. Where's Lance Leho? He's back in the back. And it was like, gosh, man. It had a box blade on it. You know the box blade? And we were moving one section of stands to get into the arena. I'm driving it. And as I was backing up, I was going to try to get, you know, just drive back up, picking up these stands to try to get on the concrete so that then we can pull them to wherever they need to go. And I didn't realize that the box blade got stuck, hung on the concrete, and I couldn't, and it went under, and all of a sudden the teeth of that box blade went into the tire and water went everywhere, hole this big. So I had to go call young bloods. $1,200 tire. Has anybody ever paid $1,200 for a tire? Let me see your hand because we're in a good club. Then young bloods came, and it's going to be the labor to fix the thing. And Lance Laho goes, "We come against that devil in Jesus' name." And I said, "That's right. That's right." Because my flesh wanted to cuss. And I don't even cuss. I didn't cuss, though. But listen to me. We're in a season when there's trials and tribulations. So look at verse 1. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." I looked up that word perilous. You know what it means? Full of danger or risk. Exposed to imminent risk of disaster or ruin. In the last days, know this, that perilous times, dangerous times, risky times, imminent risk or disaster or ruin will come. But how are you going to respond to perilous times? Are we just going to lay down and just allow it to overtake us? Allow us to get into the flesh? I mean, I know my wife has been watching a pastor, a man that's been in the ministry for 30 plus years, come home tired, give out from working, and it's real easy to not be in my spiritual nice self mood. Can anybody identify with this? And no one's ever seen me upset usually unless it's in the spirit and I'm having to deal with a devil, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the spirit of darkness that's trying to get us in the flesh, make our flesh tired so that we don't live by the joy of the Lord. No, we're living in perilous times. So I need to understand that, right? Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of themselves." And I begin to write down this just real fast. I've got 8 minutes to deliver just a few things to you. Listen carefully. It says one of the perilous examples that we're in these times, remember, everything's a season. Everything's a time under the heaven. And one of them is, men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what that means? The love of self eliminates all real concern for other people. Because you're always about you. Not you, but the people. Selfish. That's a sign. That's perilous times. That's a sign of the end time. Look at the next one. Covetousness. You know what that means? Covetous. Wanting or desiring something belonging to someone else. Boasters. Someone that is bragging, usually in a way that exaggerates things. Like, man, I'm good looking. Man, I'm probably the best worker here. Now, I'm not saying that you down yourself, because don't you dare be like that. We don't talk bad about ourselves, but we got to watch out to make sure we're not boasting. A lot of people talk about their possessions. Remember as kids, you know, my dad can whip your dad. My dad's got more than you got, your dad's got. You see, what we're taught is they begin to be boasters. They boast about their accomplishments. One thing I know about my friend Trevor Brazil is he never comes to tell you, "Hey, I'm a 26-time world champion. How you doing?" No. He don't even let you know. You know why? Because he just walks in it. It's like, I don't tell anybody I'm a pastor unless they ask. What do you do? Well, I pastor a church. You know why? Because I walk pastoring. I don't have to tell people. That's part of the signs of the times, y'all. Look at the next one, proud. But listen, when you're proud, the Bible says pride comes before destruction. I'm not talking about, "Hey, I'm proud of you, brother. Man, because you're doing it to build someone up." But I'm talking about that word pride. Pride comes before destruction in Proverbs chapter 16. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Blasphemers is the next one. To speak irreverently about God. Or evil speaking. I mean, a lot of times people don't even know what they're saying and they'll use God's name in vain just because that's just their language. But I'm here to tell you, you don't want to be that person. Have some control over your mouth. You see, but again, we're in perilous times, and see, these are some of the times. Now, don't get me wrong, because we live in under grace, mercy, and forgiveness, because there are awesome opportunities for us to do some of these. But God's here talking about people that live this way, you see. Number six, disobedient to parents. How many of you have seen children that are disobedient to parents? I'm not talking about young and running around. Praise God, that's just a kid thing. But when they get to a certain age where they start back talking and they start cussing out a mom and a dad, that would have never happened in my household. For some reason, no matter where I was, if I talked back to my mom, she at any length could slap me in the mouth. Now, I know we're living in some different times, but by golly, we got to start training up children in the ways that they should go. And that's what they're doing in the back right now. All right, listen to this. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, talks about honoring your mom and dad that you'll have a long life. And then the seventh one, and I'll just spend just quickly and then we'll close. Unthankfulness. Gosh. I teach our kids when we're at a restaurant and they bring me my food or they fill up my drink, I'm constantly, thank you so much. Thank you. I want to always be thankful. Because there's something about the society that we live in that is not very thankful anymore. They just expect it. They just expect the waitress or the waiter to wait on us the way that they should. But the more you're thankful, the more they work harder for you. I'm very thankful today. I'm thankful for Joe Bland Construction that brought us all of the material for the arena, the sandy loam, and are bringing every bit of material, the base, and hauling it, and aren't charging us one dime. We have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars because of that company that didn't say, sorry, I can't. They just said, no, I want to bless. Praise God. I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. I'm thankful for Chris and his kids that are helping weld out there. I mean, they have built the catwalk. They have built the announcer stand at their shop and then brought it out and welded it up and haven't charged me one dime. I paid for material, which is only right. They've done so much help. Barry, I want to have these guys stand up, but I didn't ask them. But I'm telling Barry and his crew brought the very first day to help us put up the continuous fence. They brought like five welders. And we had like six welders, remember that? And I mean, they just started working and they got all that stuff up and didn't charge us one dime. I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. Brian Schultz, man. Brian, he got his head down in the gray cap right there. So like, he was the one that was, see at the top, y'all look up, the very top in the middle, he was on it like a rodeo cowboy in this building helping me. But now he's building that concession stand. And he's put the wood down and he's putting the sides on it after the boys, everybody helped build it. I can't tell you what that means. And he goes, hey, if you'll pay for the material, I'll donate the labor. I said, because I've never, and I will never ask anybody to donate their time. I might have to stop and say, hey, we're out of funds. And God will provide eventually. But he just up there working. All in the dark last night, I turned on the lights for him. I couldn't thank him enough. Kenny, this man right here on the front row is here every morning before the chickens get up. Gets across Austin to get here. I can't tell you how thankful I am for you. Amen. Just, I mean, if I need something painted, he's painting it. Whatever I need, he's there. I can count on him. See, we're living in the end times where people aren't thankful anymore. Lance Leho that we was talking about, I don't know if he's in the back whipping children. He's with me every single day. He was here when I had to leave to go watch my daughter in Stephenville for the last time in College Rodeo. She's a senior, and it was her last. And I left Thursday night, and he just came Friday and just kept working. My hand polo, oh man, I'm so thankful for that guy because he can do anything, and I can trust him. He was so upset over the skid steer breaking that we had to pray over him, and he took a few anxiety pills, he said, when he had to operate a new machine that was different than mine. But he was willing. He called me yesterday and said, hey, there's 7 trucks. There's a lot of material here. And I said, there's 7? Because we've been getting about 2 to the glory of God. I don't care if there's 1. I'm so thankful for that company, Joe Bland Construction. And Polo said, hey, we got to move this stuff. I want to work. I said, get after it, brother. You see, I'm thankful for Ron and all of you that came and helped that first day. And I can go one at a time just thanking you that came to help us at the very beginning with tractors and just different things to help build that arena. And there was a lot of you mowing and doing everything. And I don't have time to the concrete guys that have helped us over the years here. I see you guys and I can't thank you enough. The use of everybody's tractors, their weed eaters. Where's Heidi? She's back there probably whipping children as well. But she's the one that I can say, hey, we need some water. And she has a bucket full of ice and water just because we're all working so hard. I can't thank you. I can't thank Heidi enough for all that she does for this church. You should know. And she has to deal with so much. She's got to deal with people's attitudes. And then they think she's got an attitude. Well, she does. In a good way, though, because she's trying to please her pastor. But more than that, she's trying to please her God. I can't tell you what the ushers of this church mean to me. I'm so thankful that they're here, usually before I get here, putting up the chairs. I'm just so thankful for all the ministers and the ministry. And I mean, the list can go on and on. I'm thankful for my wife, my children, and my friends. I'm thankful for this church. Because I can't tell you, we can't do it without each other. And yeah, maybe my wife has seen me in a few different moods because hadn't been sleeping the greatest because I'm ready to go. Let's go. We got to get this thing done. We got a roping in 3 weeks and we only have half the stands over there. But you know what? I just recognize that there's a temptation for any of us, preacher or no preacher, to be distracted because of the end times, perilous times. So here's the good news. Jesus is still Lord, no matter what. And I choose to not cause my joy to be removed because of whatever happens out there. I'm going to continue to serve our God But I'm just going to recognize, and that's what I want you to do, we're in perilous times. Man, I ain't even talked about my electricians. Oh, my Lord. There was a lot of work, huh, Steve? Oh. And two of them have just jumped in there, and I mean, they got us lights, and they got us power. And I told them, no, we have to finish totally. We can't do just half. We can't just do lights. And I mean, they jumped in there, and they, to the glory of God. But being unthankful is one of the signs of the times. So let's do this. Let's recognize today that we're in perilous times. And just understand that we don't have to submit to the times, since there's a season and a time for everything. We don't have to submit to the bad ones. We have victory in Jesus. So we always, always, always remind yourself, you've got victory, brother. Sister, you've got victory. Life is not going to tear us down, not another day. We don't have to live by stress. We don't have to go to drinking because of stress or drugs or whatever else. No. Let's turn to our God that has a name above every name. And if we'll do that, people will be drawn to us because we're constantly in victory. Y'all that sow, I can't thank you enough. I'm very, very, very thankful. And please keep doing it. We have such good givers in this place. Please don't stop giving. Keep giving to God. And watch what happens. You're going to start seeing the joy of the Lord just flood the people of God in these last days. Because there may be perilous times, but not for God's kids. For God's kids, there's blessing after blessing after blessing. If you mess up, say, God, forgive me. Turn away from that sin and start doing right. You are righteous no matter what. So here's the question. Are you born again? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's not, ask him to be the Lord of your life. Right now. You ready? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, if you don't know what would happen to you if you died, if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to choose heaven by choosing Jesus. Not some church, not a denomination. Choose the Son of God, Jesus. What we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer, all of us together. All of us believers even are going to pray this prayer with someone maybe that's here or watching that has never asked Jesus to be the Lord. The Lord. Think about that. The Lord of their lives. And we're going to do that right now. So, out of your mouth, I want everybody to pray this prayer. But if you don't know Jesus and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth, and I'm not speaking death, I'm just wanting you to think about it. You're going to leave this earth sometime. Where are you going? There's two places, either heaven or hell. The only way to go to heaven is John chapter 14. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is through Jesus. Is he your Lord? If he's not, make him your Lord right now by praying this prayer with all of us believers, and we'll just pray it with you. And we'll pray it like this. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I receive Jesus as my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I call you my Lord. I will serve you. I will live for you. Thank you for forgiving me of any sin. Because today is my God day. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, before we stand up and dismiss with prayer. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand straight up, saying, Father, I just asked your Son Jesus to come into my life. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. and then just put your hand right back down. That's all you're doing by raising your hand saying, I just received Jesus this morning. Do not be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of it. No, do it with boldness. When I say three, if you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up and then just put it right back down. Ready? One, two, three, go. Anybody? Glory be to God. Look at me. I didn't see one hand. Did I miss any? Very seldom do we not have anybody that gives their heart to Jesus. But that doesn't move me because I know there's still people that need Jesus. Amen? Did y'all have a good time this morning? Let's walk in victory no matter what.